Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family. As we continue in the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, episode number 790, where I simply read the Word of God and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source, such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary and or the Matthew Henry Commentary. This podcast is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. The aim, therefore, of this podcast is that through the simple reading of the Word of God and the giving of the sense of it, it is my humble prayer that the church would be revived and that the world would be awakened and saved from the wrath of God to come and saved from the eternal burning hell that awaits every soul who rejects Jesus Christ as Savior and does not believe in his name, and repent of their sins. Have you done that, my dear friend, listening to me live today, listening to me on demand at any given time? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation? And have you repented of your sins? If not, believe the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow his simple and, yes, easy instructions on how to be saved from hell and saved to heaven, so that when you die, you will go to heaven and not to hell. For Jesus Christ said the most loving, the most important, and the most powerful, most wonderful words ever said by to human beings on this earth in the history of the world. When Jesus Christ said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This was hard for God to do. This was hard, very hard, for Jesus Christ to do, and that is to suffer, to bleed, and to die on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and on the third day, by the power of God, he rose from the dead. He did all of that for you and for me. For you see, we're all sinners, aren't we? You have said yourself that nobody's perfect, and you're right. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible makes it clear that we have sinned against God. We have broken His laws, His Ten Commandments. For example, have you ever told a lie? Have you ever stolen anything, even from your parents? Some change, some quarters out of their coin jar to buy candy they didn't give you permission to buy? Or you went into the store for them and you added a few items for yourself that they did not authorize you to do. This makes you a thief. And if you lie to your parents about it once they ask you, it makes you a liar. Have you ever lusted or coveted after somebody or something? Have you ever dishonored and disrespected and disobeyed your parents with a bad attitude as well? You have sinned against God. You've broken His Ten Commandments. Have you ever taken God's name in vain? You got frustrated with something, you called out God's name, or you lied using God's name, trying to convince people to believe you, or you cursed using God's name. Dear friend, I just listed for you five of the commandments out of the Ten Commandments that I would venture to say we all have committed if we are of a certain age. We have broken the Ten Commandments, haven't we? Well, the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. We all have sinned against God, and because of our sin, we will die. We die because of sin. We don't die because of cancer. We don't die because of a car accident. We don't die because of cardiac arrest. We die because of sin. Our bodies go to a grave. Our soul goes to hell if we have never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and repented of our sins. And so thirdly, please understand that you're on your way to a devil's hell even while you live because of your sins. We're all on death row. Jesus Christ, by the way, preached more on hell than any prophet, any evangelist, any apostle, any writer in the Bible, any preacher in the Bible. He preached more on hell than anybody else in the Bible. He preached more on hell, in fact, than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ, the meek and lowly, loving one, was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. He described hell one time as a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. In another place, he described hell as a place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Hell is a very real place. Just like New York City is a place. You say, well, preacher, you ought not to try to scare us. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just stating facts. And if the facts scare you, so be it. So be it. What you need to focus on is what Jesus Christ said. For God so loved the world. See, what I just told you is the bad news. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Straight from Jesus Christ, who said these magnificent words some 2,000 years ago. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, even though it was hard for God to give up his only begotten Son for you and for me, even though it was hard for Jesus Christ to suffer, bleed, and die on the cross for our sins as the sacrificial Passover Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. In other words, Jesus Christ paid our sin debt. My dear friend, all we have to do is believe in Jesus Christ. For Jesus said, whosoever, the word whosoever means anybody at any time. Red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. Whosoever. The next word is believeth. All we have to do is believe in our hearts in Jesus Christ. The word believeth means to have faith in, to trust in, to rely on, to depend on. We're all sinners. We need to believe in Jesus Christ to be saved from the hell that we all deserve. And once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, your destination changes instantaneously from hell to heaven. Yes, it is simple. Yes, it is easy. You don't have to go to some beautiful, ornate church to meet with some priest or some bishop or some pastor to get saved. You can get saved right now. God made it very convenient and very easy and very simple. There's some people who don't like that because they want to make things hard and make you pay money and make you do things for them and for the church. But I'm here to tell you, to get saved is free. It is a free gift. You don't have to work for a free gift. You don't have to pay any money to the church for a free gift. You don't have to give any money to the church. You don't have to do any work in the church. You don't even have to get baptized to get saved. The thief on the cross never got off the cross and got baptized, nor did he join a church. But Jesus Christ said to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So if the thief on the cross can get saved from hell and go to heaven, so can you. Even if you're on your deathbed, even if you're under a ventilator in the hospital, you can hear me. I may not be able to hear you, but God can hear you. And you can pray a prayer without moving your lips. So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be instantaneously saved from the eternal burning hell to the eternal glorious heaven. Just like that. Instantaneously. So why don't you believe right now in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins. He paid your sin debt. And all you have to do is believe in him to go free to heaven and avoid going to hell. And on top of that, receive many other benefits that are too numerous for me to name. So right now, as you believe in your heart, dear friend, right where you are, why don't you pray with me the sinner's prayer? Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. For the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're believing in your heart right now, you're going to have a burning desire to talk to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him know that you're receiving his free gift of salvation, that you want him to be the Lord of your life. Follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have sinned evil in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. Please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, who bled, and who died on the cross for my sins. Was buried and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul today. Change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of all of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your holy name I do pray. Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, may I lovingly say to you, congratulations. And to help you to grow in the faith, email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com so that we can rejoice with you and send you some important information to help you to grow in the faith. Or you can also go to gospellightsociety.com and read my book, free of charge, titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. And it will give you the next steps you need to take to grow mightily in the faith. God bless you, dear friends. And at this time, we're going to resume the service that we call the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service. Already in progress. With the Scripture and the Sense podcast. Today, dear friends, we are reading Haggai chapter 2, verse 23. Let's pray. Holy Father God, fill us with your Holy Spirit, your unction, and your anointing to read your holy word and to understand it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Dear friends, that was Haggai chapter 2, verse 23. Now here is the sense of it, or the understanding of it, from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. Three facts are prominent in this verse. A, the Lord will fulfill this prophecy on the future day of Gentile judgment. B, the Lord will make Zerubbabel like my signet ring. And C, the Lord had chosen Zerubbabel as the channel of the Davidic line and therefore representative or typical of the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. The title, My Servant, frequently marked out the Davidic king. Haggai's contemporary, Zechariah, used the messianic title branch to refer to Zerubbabel. The significance of comparing Zerubbabel to a signet ring, a seal of royal authority or personal ownership, is clarified by the imagery in Jeremiah chapter 22, verses 24 and 25. God said that if Jehoiakim, Zerubbabel's grandfather, were his signet ring, he would pull him off his hand and give him over to Nebuchadnezzar. Possibly Haggai was saying that in Zerubbabel, God was reversing the curse pronounced on Jehoiakim. At any rate, Zerubbabel's place in the line of messianic descent confirmed his representative role in typifying the Messiah, since the words on that day point to a yet future fulfillment in the messianic age. It is wrong to suggest that Zerubbabel would actually rule as the anointed one on the Davidic throne in Haggai's day. This was not intended any more than the crowning of Joshua the high priest indicated he would have political rule over Israel. The crowning of Joshua was clearly symbolic of things yet to come, yet to be fulfilled by the Messiah. Joshua was portrayed in Zechariah's vision in his official capacity as high priest rather than in his own person. Similarly, Zerubbabel was owned as the Lord's signet ring in his representative position as the son of David, not for personal fulfillment in his own lifetime, but for messianic fulfillment in the kingdom of the final son of David. An alternate interpretation sees Zerubbabel exercising delegated authority with David during the future millennial reign of Christ. Appropriately, the last words in Haggai's book are the Lord Almighty. The sovereign covenant God is able to bring about all he promised through Haggai. The temple will be rebuilt and filled with the glory of the Lord. The final son of David will rule the earth in peace and righteousness. Therefore, God's people are to be faithful now to the task to which he has called them. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this powerful passage and this powerful book. Lord, have it to find a lodging place in our hearts. Help us to meditate. Help us to remember your holy word and help us to meditate on it throughout not only this time but throughout our lives. And Lord, help us to obey the principles therein. And help us to always look for the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to come. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Scripture and the Sense podcast. Please remember to read the Word of God, the Holy Bible, each and every day of your life, and pray without ceasing to God about everything, and for wisdom to understand his word and apply it to your life. Most importantly, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you shalt be saved. Please stay tuned for a complete presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can get your soul saved from hell to that wonderful place called heaven when you die. May God bless you and keep you, is my prayer. Now, dear friends, if you're with us today and you do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him, Jesus Christ, for your soul's salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God. We're all guilty before God. You do not have the right to look down your nose at others. You're just as wicked as others. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin always. You will be paid for your sins one day. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Our payday someday is death to these beautiful bodies. Death to so many things before you die. Death to marriages. Death to relationships. Death to material things. You will experience 1,000 deaths before you die because of sin. But ultimately you will die physically. Your body will be put in a cold, dark grave. And that ought to be frightening because it is frightening. But more frightening is that your soul, if it dies without Christ, will go to a burning hell to spend eternity in a dark place, even though there's fire. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that a loving God would put people in the hell." Well, Jesus Christ, the loving and lowly one, preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ, the loving one and the lowly one, preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. He said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Whatever you do, don't experience the second death, because it's bad news. Hell is bad news. But I have good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. And he said these words to you before he left here: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved." Pray and ask Jesus Christ to save your soul and to come into your heart and change your life. He will do it. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, and you're ready to trust him as your Savior, pray and ask him to save you, and he will. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer in what is called the sinner's prayer, or the prayer of salvation. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have done evil in your sight. I am guilty because I have broken your Ten Commandments, your law. I've taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected my own parents. I have lied many times before. I have lusted after people and things and what others have. I've stolen things before. So, Lord, that's 5 to 6 commandments I've already broken out of your Ten Commandments. And so, please have mercy and grace upon me. For your Holy Son's sake, Jesus Christ, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart, the best way that I know how, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my evil ways. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, dear friend, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. And Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good until next time. Now, I may be traveling here over the next few days, but I will resume preaching as soon as I get back. And I will do some preaching while I'm on the road. So thank you so much for your prayers. Please continue to pray for us, and we will continue to pray for you. God bless you until next time. You're in this place. Please let me see.